Okay, so let's get started here then. All set. I like where the needles are bopping. Going to a good spot. So let's just do this thing. Right in the book, episode 240. I'll give you the three S's. I'll give you the countdown. You give me the music, and I'll give you a podcast. Okay, here we go. Three. Oh, no, sorry. And don't forget, Reggie, when the music stops, stop it because it's been replaying and it sounds very unprofessional. Usually we revel in our unprofessionality here, but that sounds a little too bad. So, okay, ready? Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com, or it's found wherever you go to find your favorite podcasts. We are there. And don't forget, part of your responsibility is not just listening to us on a weekly basis, but it's also to help spread the word. So send a message, send a link, tell your friends, tell your family what your favorite podcast is, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated, as well as the extra effort. You keep this thing going. Thanks for your inspiration. Don't forget, also, if you like what you hear, you can go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, and you can, under the Elton Jim's prompt, and you can find all previous 239 episodes. They're all there, lined up in the vault, just waiting to be heard. If you haven't heard them yet, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 240. And for episode 240, we are going to bring on a guest that hasn't been on for a while. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Are you still COVID-free?
Still COVID-free.
Still COVID-free, which is good. Have you?
Yes.
That's not even a funny question anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah.
So regular pop culture guru-esque, I don't know if that's a word, or... I mean, I guess, you know, now all of those little comedian, actress, we just use the one. So you could still be a guru, right? You're a pop culture guru.
Or, you know, scholar. You could.
Oh, wow.
Scholar.
Wow. My goodness. But so.
Giving myself a.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. I mean, you know, I know we're sort of, you know, making a lot of changes during COVID. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
But
well, I have had plenty of time on my hands to brush up.
Yeah,
on my
no
pop
kidding.
Culture.
So Emily Armonetti is back, and like I said, I've been. And please don't think that I have, I've forgotten, or I mean, I just didn't. I mean, in a COVID world, I just didn't know what if you had, you know, with your kids and. But now you were telling me before that your kids are actually going to school, so they are. They are in class, or as you said, which was. Very trendy of you. I didn't say I wanted to make fun of you during the podcast as opposed to just in our in our conversation. Because if you noticed when people now talk, like especially when you watch an entertainment related show, and I hear this in the news a lot too, for some reason we are getting out of the habit of using an article. The most famous and popular article grammatically is the. The word "the" is an article. I don't even know if people learn. I don't know if you people even learn grammar anymore. But from what when I listen to the average person talk, I don't think that grammar has been spoken in many people or has been taught in many people. Even in my time, we're listening very often. Mm-hmm. But so the article though is an important part of our grammar. But I find a lot of people are beginning to. Drop the article. So, for instance, when an actor would be talking about making a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
they would say, I will be on the I will be on the set.
Right.
I will be on the set. Now, that is the way it's been said for ever, because that's the correct way to say it. When you diagrammed a sentence in grammar school, you had the little line that went down and you put the there, and that was the article. You know, I went to the store, and, you know, the was the article. In the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, for some reason, we are dropping that, and now the big phrase is, well, when we're on set.
Yes.
On set. And everybody says that. And now even the reporters on TV shows say, when I was on scene, and I'm like,
really?
On scene. I'm on scene here.
Yeah.
You know, at the car crash. I'm not on the scene. So I now have to have a small container of cherry tomatoes with me when I watch the news, and I throw them at the screen whenever I hear that, because I can't take it. On set sounds very pretentious to me, and now on scene sounds even worse.
Okay, yeah.
In the process, before I hit the record button, Emily and I were talking. We hadn't spoken in a while, and we were just catching up, and Emily was saying how her kids, who were at home for quite a while during the COVID thing, are now back in school. Now, you could say in school, because that doesn't make sense, you know, to say I'm back in the school.
Right.
Right? So in school is fine. Yeah. That's the way the phrase always has been. But I had, you know, but you sent off a dog whistle to me. When you were saying, you said, because right now, yes, you said you were explaining the process of your children going back to school.
Right.
And do you even know what I'm going to say yet, or no? You still don't know?
I know where this is going.
Oh, you do know. Okay, at least you know. Because I want you to start putting the article back in when you start talking to your neighborhood friends.
I'll explain my
do you? Okay, so let you me can. First say it. I'm glad you
what
know.
Did I say?
I'm glad you know that you sound pretentious.
Pretentious.
Oh, you totally do. But well, at least maybe you do, because I'm not in the world of schooling.
Right.
And I'm not hearing these phrases, but the fact that this phrase now has dripped into that world shows me that you know, everybody's trying to be like an act, you know, trying to be cool now. So Emily is
hear my explanation. Okay. Get it.
So Emily is explaining the protocols about how her children can go back to school, and she says, "Well, you know, if you want, you can have your children to go in building."
Right. In building.
Not in the building. I'm going to have my children go back into the building.
Yes,
that's the phrase. But now you say in building. I can only assume that the hipster, you know, pretentious principals and school administrators and hipster parents, we want to sound like we're actors and very cool.
No.
They say on set, if George Clooney says on set. If Emily Blunt says on set, then when we are going to send our kids back, we are going to send them in building.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's actually a COVID thing, and I'll tell you why. Like everything else. Okay, so we have, like, there's a whole new, we've got so many words that are now part of the lexicon post-COVID that were not before, right?
Right.
You know, social distancing.
Right.
Mask up,
right,
all that stuff.
Yes.
So this is all part of the COVID. So they, when they created the plans.
Yeah, but on set, they've been saying on set before COVID.
No, I understand that. But the reason I say in building is because that's how they make the distinction, at least in our area, about whether, you know, when you have a choice of sending your kids remote or in the building. They don't, but it's not in the building. It's in.
Well, because they're trying to sound cool. This is the worst explanation. Your Honor. I mean, if we were sitting in the people's court right now, I'd say, Your Honor, I mean, she's, this is the worst explanation and the worst.
No, I'm just telling you, this is, I
understand. You are just repeating. You are just parroting what they're saying, but my point is there, what you need to be, one reason I've always admired you is because you have never followed the group. You've always been a very independent person. You say what's on your mind. You do what you want to do. And so it hurts me to hear you become a playdate mom suddenly.
Well, you know,
and Jim, just say in building like all of the other yoga pants wearers, because
well,
that's not my Emily. That's not right. My Emily.
Well, I do wear yoga pants every day now since I don't go anywhere. Yeah. I don't think that I've put any. Maybe, yeah, Thanksgiving was the first time I think that I was in non-athleisure wear since March. Because, you know, it was a special occasion, even though I didn't leave my house.
Right.
But listen, Jim, this is what happens when I get stuck in my house for 9 months, okay?
Okay, but now, but I want you to, because you need to be, the trailblazer, not the trail wearer. So when you talk to your friends from now on, you say to them, are you going to have your kids go in the building?
In the building. Okay.
Yeah. And they're going
to
go.
And
they're
going to
look. And look, I am well aware that when you throw the article back in where it belongs, that you will be shunned by some of your friends and you may not get your regular Zoom calls. You may not be able to, you may be.
Zoom cocktails.
Yeah, you may be. Oh, I can only imagine. I'm sure you're doing that. which, you know, that's another reason why I haven't called you in a while. I'm sure you're Zoom cocktailing. I'm sure you're Zoom book clubbing, which is basically Zoom cocktails with a fake book thrown in for the hell of it.
That nobody's read.
That was the biggest 90s scam. For women to get together and drink without admitting that they were going to go and just give a bender. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, we're gonna read the new Toni Morrison book. Yeah, okay, screw you. But when you said in building, I mean, mm-hmm. I thought I was getting a COVID test with the swab up my nose. That was the way it felt on this end.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Elton Jim Flair.
Oh my God. In building.
Yeah. It went up into the stratosphere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When you said that, I started laughing inside. I'm like, in building, on set, on scene. And once again, I know you're just parroting. That's the term. But my point is that whoever put together the plan, whatever administrator, whatever principal, whatever district manager, whoever school person, whoever put that plan together, they put that plan together. Now, the only thing I could think of is, as we were talking about this just now, it dawned on me. Now, perhaps in building derived from, you know, you don't say I'm doing at the home schooling. Right?
Right.
You say at home.
Remote.
But my point is, the term is at, you know, at school. I'm, you know, in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
In school. So if I'm in school, then I would be in building.
Right. Well, no, but see, that's the thing. I believe the distinction needs to be made because this is not specific to Texas or Austin or anything.
Oh, no, I'm sure it isn't.
Hold on. Parents around the country, when the school year started, and obviously everyone was grappling with how were they going to handle this, there was a – because kids were learning over Zoom and it was a remote learning situation, there were a lot of people who were acting like school was canceled or schools were closed, and the reality is – they were not. Kids were still learning. Kids were still going to school.
Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor,
as opposed to in building.
She is, Your Honor, once again, she is filibustering and she is not. All you have to say is the. This has nothing to do with that they were home and they were feeling.
I'm not opposed to trying to bring the article back.
In the building.
Explaining why I think.
No, you're not. You're filibustering. You're saying nothing. All you're saying is that people were, there was remote and there was in building, but that's not an excuse. In the building is the phrase.
Well, you know what? Objection overruled. Case closed. That's it.
Oh, so anyway.
I will do my best to try to bring the article.
The only thing, I mean, first of all, like I said, through peer pressure alone, I know you're not going to. That's fine. You're saying it now. You're placating me. That's fine. I get it. But the only thing that I'm happy about is that from now on, whenever you say in building,
yeah.
Guess whose face is going to pop up in your head?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So that's really my only goal and the only kind of, if I have a concession
to
make
here. The only satisfaction.
Yeah, that's as I know that at least you're not going to change. I know you won't. But at least you're going to know that you should, or that you're going to go, oh, I just said in building.
I'm going to know that you're on to me.
Yes. Yes. Even remotely or right. in remote. I don't know what you see. That's your logic. That was your logic. That's why your argument completely falls apart. If you're going to have in building, then you have to say in remote.
Well,
yeah. See, no. So, this is all hipster stuff. It comes back from on set. Believe me. I don't know why the word the got out of it. You know, about 2 or 3 months ago, we were surprised to find. I got this thing on my front door that a site location to shoot a show in Chicago wanted to. We're thinking about using our house.
Okay.
And for Chicago PD.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so they came and they put something because of course they rang the doorbell and I didn't answer the door. I'm not going to answer the door.
I
didn't answer the door before COVID. I'm certainly not going to answer it now.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, like I said, I've been social distancing for 50-some years. So so they left this thing on the door. Long story short, they said I verified that this was real, that it wasn't some scam just to get into my house to take some pictures and to find what kind of, security I had. But they basically just wanted to use the basement for some kind of scene that they were going to need. Now they didn't use our house, but they did take pictures of our outside, and she came into the house and took some pictures of our basement. And I was a little leery just because it's a stranger as well, coming into your home. But she said, "Oh no, we are, we have to follow." Because they were, I said, I was surprised to hear they were even filming shows. She said, "No, we have, we take tests every day, blah blah blah." And I figured, okay, she's only in the house for a couple of minutes, and I got a mask, and we stayed far apart. But once again, this woman is in the business.
The viral load was low, which is another thing that's
definitely
daily
lexicon. Yes, viral low. Mm-hmm. So she walked in, and so we were outside talking, and she said, "Well, And I said, "Geez, I'm surprised to hear that you're even filming." She said, "Well, when we're on set," she said on set 17 times. I almost went inside to get my cherry tomatoes. I was going to throw them right at her. But I said, "Well, I can't ruin that because if I throw tomatoes at her, we won't get picked."
Then, they're not going
to
use your house.
Yeah, they didn't pick us. And I don't even know what, and they were supposed to do something even in the neighborhood. I don't think they even used this area, but at least initially when she was doing her initial scouting, she did come. But she said on set a million times. And I had to take a shower after she left just because I felt dirty. But just listening to it in person. But but when I heard you, we will close the case on in building. And the funny thing is too, like I've told you the story many times, I put my nativity scene up every year, like I've done this year. But I don't put the baby Jesus in it until Christmas Day because he's not born. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I've made that a regular thing. Now, this year, I've actually updated it even more because I thought of, Jesus and Joseph shouldn't be there either until maybe a couple of days earlier, right? I mean, I know it was an Immaculate Conception. I don't know how long the delivery took, though.
Wait, Joseph wasn't there for the... I thought they arrived at the manger together, no?
Oh, they did, but my point is they shouldn't be at the stable right now either. The stable should be empty until at least.
Yes,
so, like I said, I don't know how long her delivery was. I'm going to think that there wasn't a midwife. This was 2,000 years ago, so it's probably a little quicker. A little more complex. Not quicker, but a little more complex. So I'm going to say Joseph and Mary right now are not even in the stable, And right. they will come there. I'm going to say, I'm going to give Mary a two-day labor.
Yeah, that sounds plausible.
Yeah, so I'm going to say on the 23rd, Joseph and Mary get to the stable.
Yeah.
So right now there's just a lamb, a shepherd boy with a lamb on his back, and mm-hmm. like a goat.
Right.
And okay. some hay in my stable. The wise men, who I usually put in the kitchen at the beginning, and they make their way over to the stable.
Right.
Now I've made a new addition to that, because I was just thinking, I've always had my three wise men traveling together from the kitchen mm-hmm. through the dining room, through the living yeah. room to the side room where the thing is over whenever we put those. Now this year I put my stuff up in November 18th. I had my stuff up.
Wow.
So
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So, but then when I was thinking about the whole story, I'm like, you know, I don't know if the three wise men start when they traverse afar. I don't know if they actually started out together traversing afar. I think they may have met. So what I did now, I had the three of them separated when they started traversing. So they did not come together until they got to the entrance of the dining room to the living room.
Okay.
As they moved, I moved them separately through the kitchen and through the dining room, and then they congregated at the dining room entrance. So now they're together. Mm-hmm. But they won't get to the stable till January 6th. Because
really?
That's,
did they not get there until that late?
Yeah, that's the Epiphany. You're a good Catholic, obviously.
You know what? Listen, I haven't been to church.
Neither have I, but it doesn't mean I haven't remembered all those crazy things that were drilled into my mind.
No, I know. I used to have the Beatitudes memorized.
Oh, remember the Beatitudes?
That'd be a great name for a band.
Catholic
school.
Wouldn't that be a great name for a band? We are the Beatitudes. Yeah. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, I knew the Beatitudes, certainly, yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know them anymore. I don't even know if I know all 10 commandments anymore.
Oh, my God.
But I'm just getting my...
So you can't even begin to think you know the Stations of the Cross.
Oh, no. Oh. Absolutely. No, no, no.
My favorite station? I even have a favorite station.
Wow.
Scourging at the Pillar.
Oh, my God.
It was always my favorite one.
If you held a gun to my head, there's no way I could have come up with that.
Oh, yeah, phrase. Scourging at the Pillar. Don't you remember Jesus Falls a Third Time?
No. See, I don't remember any of this.
Yes. And as I've said many times, my Jesus does not get there until midnight. He does not appear because that's when he officially appears. And for the last several years, I have put him in my piano bench. For safekeeping. Oh, because one year
because one year
I forgot where I hit him. And so for like half the day I couldn't find him. So now I know he's in the piano bench. I figured, you know, that's where he belongs. But
When everyone shows up in the manger at their designated
times,
point in time, will you be putting masks on them this year?
Oh, great. Oh!
To make some masks.
Fantastic.
Up to 2020.
I have a mask on. We have a mask on our Santa, one of our Santas that sits by the fireplace with his reindeer. He's a stuffed Santa, and I have had that on since November. So that's, but I never thought of a COVID safe nativity scene.
Yeah,
loving that.
Need to make some masks.
Loving that, and especially for those three wise men.
Oh yeah,
because look at where they've come.
They're traveling together.
I don't know where they were.
They came together.
Yeah, they're not in a bubble.
No,
Joseph.
From three different places.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I think Joseph and Mary. I mean, they were in a bubble. But good point. Good point. That would be hilarious. I can't. Well, you know what? if this podcast is terrible, just that idea right there was worth the phone call.
Makes it all worth it.
Was all worth it. Anything now that we talk about for the next 40 minutes or so, pure gravy, extra credit. Between right already within, it's only been how long here? About a half hour. Between your in building and now your great idea for masks on the wise men. Oh, you already hit a home run.
Oh, good.
Everything else, gravy.
Good.
Good. You're already earning your pay.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That check that comes every month.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so what I did want to talk to you about, though, in the pop culture world, I mean, one reason, too, is that sadly there just isn't a lot of pop culture stuff happening.
No, I know.
You know, there is and there isn't, and I don't want to, you know, I mean, you are brought on to talk in the pop culture club, and so that's another reason why, I mean, sadly, I certainly miss talking to you, but at the same time, it's just been a very barren desert.
Yeah, it's been a slow 9 months.
Yeah, no kidding. But we are seeing now some things in the entertainment world making news out of either necessity in reaction to COVID or in defiance of COVID. I don't even know, you know, how you would, you know, categorize it. But there was a major, major announcement that just happened a few weeks ago that I thought of you immediately, because not only is it, I think it's worth talking about, and maybe some people have not even heard about it yet. But at the same time, I think I wanted to get your take on it, because I'm wondering how it will or can affect you in your enjoyment of movies and entertainment. But one of the major studios, Warner Brothers, one of the pioneering studios, announced a few weeks ago that starting in 2021, because so many films are that the few films that are being released to theaters are not making any money at all. No one is seeing them. No one's going to theaters. I mean, it's really a sad situation for movie theaters, in addition to restaurants and bars and a lot of these other places where the public congregates. But these studios have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in many cases, and they're trying to find a way to recoup some of their losses, or at the very least, you know, let people remember movies again, so that when there is the time comes, they at least get back into the swing, because, you know, there's been so few movies that people have seen one way or the other. And so Warner Brothers announced that in 2021, next month, they are going to simultaneously release their first run films on HBO Max as well as in the theaters. And this really, I mean, you might say, okay, what's the big deal? Wow, that's a huge, huge shift in the entertainment and movie business, to have first run movies available to people in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel now? I mean, I don't know. Before COVID, did you go to movies a lot, or did you wait for movies to come on pay-per-view or on demand? I mean, aside from your kids, because that's a whole different world. You got to find ways to entertain your kids, so you take them to the movies. I get that. But aside from, you know, any kind of animated or children-oriented films, how many movies were you going to see for your pure enjoyment?
In the theater, maybe like one or two a year, because it really would take something that I felt needed to really be seen on a big screen for me to, like, you know, for example, A Star Is Born. Like, I knew that was a movie that I really wanted to see on the big screen. But that's mostly because, like, I mean, with kids, you know, when you go out, it's like a whole thing. You know, you get a babysitter and then all that. So when we go out, we would rather sit, like, go to dinner or something, like, either with friends or just the two of us, and be able to talk to each other versus, like, sit and stare at a screen for a couple of hours. But that said, I mean, I love movies. And, like, I, you know, before I had kids, like, I used to go to the movies quite a lot. Anytime there was something that I wanted to see.
Well, that's why I was wondering now. But, I mean, so obviously, you know, lifestyles change and your priorities change. Now, the same way.
I do think, though, that this is going to have a huge impact across the industry, because it's problematic. I mean, it's problematic for when things return to normal, because once consumers get used to that kind of, like, first run content being in their, you know, not even having to leave their home to see it, there will still be people who I think will want to be in the theater and have that experience. You know, a lot of people who like the really big blockbuster type films.
Well, you know, I think, if you remember back, and I don't even know if we got a chance to talk about this, but in the summer, Universal made, at that time, seemed like it was a seismic, earthquake kind of announcement by saying that they were going to cut the time from first run films being shown in the theaters to being shown in the home. Usually it's like it was a 90 day grace period that the theaters had 90 days of exclusivity to show the films for people to go to the theaters. And then after that, then the movies would start to show up either on pay-per-view or even on, pay services like HBO or Showtime. But there was a 90 day, kind of window that the theaters had to make their money off of those films. And Universal announced that they were going to cut that time to 17 days, which was like, wow, from 90 to 17. So in other words, within 3 weeks, if there's a first run movie I want to see, or a little bit more than, between 2 and 3 weeks, I could just wait and I'll be able to see it at home, which was a huge deal. Now, Warner Brothers has taken it a step further. I mean, the release dates are the same. It is going to be in your home the same day it's at the theaters. We'll see if it lasts past COVID. But, to your point, when you have that access where you don't need to go, and in your case, get a babysitter, and do a whole rigmarole around going to see a movie where you can just watch it in your home and you don't feel that you need to see it on a big screen because maybe it isn't Star Wars or it isn't some big, effects filled movie. It's just a drama or a story that can certainly be, experienced enough on a 40-inch screen that it is on a 40-foot screen,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's huge. Now, I have stayed away from I was a movie critic. I'd be going to movies 2 or 3 times a week for 20 years. The reason why I stopped going to the theaters for the most part, unless there was a movie I really wanted to see and had to see it, was because I was just getting tired of the behavior of people and treating the theater like it was their home, with putting their feet up with no socks. I think I told you
that
story.
That's what happens when they put recliners in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I literally had somebody's foot. I think I told you that story. Right. Somebody's foot literally came through on my handrest. A bare foot.
Oh, yeah. That is so gross.
Yeah, so that's when I said, I'm done. And then between all the talking, the talking loud, the talking on your phones, the text, so I've stayed away just because of human behavior more than the actual, theater experience. But wow, I mean, this is going to change. I mean, and obviously, the movie business, they've wanted this for 20 years. They've wanted to get first run movies in. They haven't made this step because they knew the backlash, because at that time theater still had a lot of pull.
Yeah.
But now that people are not going to theaters, and they're getting used to watching this stuff at home, just like you said. I'm wondering, do you think, are theaters dead?
This is what I think the concern is that they're going to create a situation whereby nobody really feels that motivated to go to the movies anymore. And I think there's that. I mean, the weird thing to me about it is that I know they tried to position it as like a creative solution to COVID, but it's all of 2021. It's their entire slate of films. And I mean, I know COVID's going to go on for a lot longer than we originally thought. But I mean, some of these films like were agreed to have their premiere dates pushed out from 2020 into 2021 so that they could have a theatrical release. And now they kind of had the rug pulled out from under them, which makes me think like, was this really a solution to COVID, or was this designed to give HBO Max a boost because they really haven't done as well?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a hope because they have HBO Max, is a streaming service like all the rest now, Disney Plus and everyone else. NBC had the Peacock, which, debuted earlier this year. HBO Max was a huge, huge failure from a marketing standpoint. They did a horrible job of rolling it out, a horrible job of branding it, And I was very happy to see this, because so often it gets me very upset when I see that people that do a bad job, there are no consequences so often. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to tell you, I gave a big kudos. The HBO Max, there was a lot of confusion. If I had HBO, do I get HBO Max?
Right.
You know, what is HBO Max? Are shows that are on HBO going to be on HBO Max? Are shows on HBO Max going to be on HBO? They did a horrible job of, from the very outset, of explaining it, of branding it, of even conceptualizing the service itself. Just terrible. Whoever, and I, when this rolled out, it did not get the amount of initial subscribers that they expected. Meanwhile, Disney Plus was breaking records, as they do. I mean, Disney really knows what they're doing.
Well, yeah, because Disney Plus is.
But Disney is just a good company, though. I mean, they just.
Disney, yeah. No, you're right. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do it right. So HBO, and I was so happy to see that HBO, which is owned by AT&T, they got which also owns Warner Brothers, so understand the connections here. The reason why Warner Brothers announced they're going to put a thing on HBO Max is because they're owned by the same company. So they, to your point, that's what they want to do. They want to boost HBO Max, because HBO Max has been way down in terms of subscribers compared to the other newer services, as well as the established ones like Netflix. And HBO, has a major, name, and they do have some amazing content, but they really screwed this marketing up. And I was so glad to see that a new CEO came in and he got rid of everybody in the HBO marketing. And I was like, thank you. That's what those people deserve to lose their jobs. That was their main job. This was a major project that I'm sure they worked on for more than a year. And you and I know how long some launches like that take, because we worked in public relations together. So you know what went on. Mm-hmm. And you know that when we worked for a firm, that if we didn't do a good job, we risked losing the account.
Right.
And so what I was happy to see was that these marketing people had probably a 2-year or 1-year project that they worked on for 15 hours a day, no doubt, for a high profile project that the company was really pinning its future on. This was not
This was probably the biggest launch that they were going to have in years.
Exactly. I mean, this is the future of entertainment here, our streaming services, and getting out there, because that's where the future is going to be. And they so dropped the ball. It was such a flop, clearly. And I was so happy to see that a new CEO came in and said, okay, you're gone. This was your only job. You failed. If you failed at your job, you lose your job.
Right.
And so I was happy to see that. But, yeah, there's certainly some other motivations here. Here's the other thing that was interesting. As soon as this was announced, people in Hollywood went nuts. You know, the directors and the actors, because to your point, you know, they want these movies to be seen in theaters. They want, they made these movies for the entire movie theater experience, and now suddenly from a sound effects, from a visual effects, you know, what was supposed to be seen, as I said before, on a 40-foot screen is now going to be shrunken down on a 40-foot, or sometimes now on a 6-inch on your phone. So from
Have you seen the list of movies that are on their slate? It's like Godzilla versus Kong. that's just right there.
Matrix 4.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, Matrix 4. And actually probably one that you're probably looking forward to. But and this was part of the backlash. So Dune, I guess there was like a Dune remake.
A new Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movies that they're talking about are not just these, a small kind of drama, but we're talking about major kind of tentpole popcorn movies with the smash and bams. And I mean, my gosh, The Matrix, if not for the special effects, The Matrix really isn't that great of a movie.
Right.
You know, don't forget that Matrix, the Matrix caught on so much was that amazing stop action, kind of effect when the bullets were flying and stuff, and Keanu Reeves was floating in slow motion. That's what made The Matrix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's going to be compromised. So not only were big directors like Chris Nolan and other people, you know, kind of against this, but then another interesting layer came up, which I didn't think about a couple of weeks ago after the initial announcement. A lot of actors are getting very upset about this. Why do you think the actors are mad?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I think, number one, it could affect the box office. And, you know, I mean,
well,
I think
bingo.
Actors, even though they're artists,
yeah, but yeah,
they
but here,
still don't, they don't want to have flops.
Well, no, not even that,
IMDb,
but think
know?
About this, which I didn't think, I mean, this is kind of inside baseball, but it's worth understanding the different contexts and the different little issues that go into this. The reason actors are mad is, in many cases, you know, these movies cost so much to make because of the effects that a lot of times, even big name stars will defer their upfront salaries for a back end or a percentage of the gross that a movie makes. So they will say, look, I usually get $20 million a film, but you're going to be spending $200 million on this. So I'll take $5 million and I'll take what they call a point, which is like maybe even like 0.5% or whatever it is, on the back end, that if this movie's a hit, like, for instance, you know the movie Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock? They didn't think that movie was going to be that big of a hit, okay? But it was they didn't think it was going to be that big of a movie. But it was a big effects-laden kind of film, right?
Mm-hmm.
So George Clooney and Sandra Bullock they reduced their fees they would get for a normal film for a back end, what they call a back end percentage on the gross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that movie wound up being a huge, 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 huge hit. George Clooney and Sandra Bullock each got $70 million.
That's amazing.
So they probably would have gotten 20. That's probably right. Their going rate. So they got three times, almost four times as much because of that back end deal. So here's the thing. If these movies don't open at theaters with these $200 million grosses, because they're, you know, the question will now be, don't forget, if I'm going to buy this at home, say Emily and her family are going to buy a film, you're going to spend $20. But four people are going to watch it.
Right.
You may have spent $40 for four people.
Even paying for that movie, though, if all you need is a subscription to HBO Max.
Well, I'm just talking about further down the road where, like, for instance, you know, like they just did a re-edit of The Godfather 3, and it's available now on demand. Or even Mulan in the summer was a first run movie that they showed on Disney. It was $30 to rent Mulan.
Right.
So they're saying, okay, look, you know, you're not going to the theater, but you know, you could have 17 people come over, and we would have gotten $10 a piece for those people, and now we're going to get some money out of this. So this is a major shift, a major paradigm of how we not only how we are going to experience movies, but that if this is the case now. When they start to make movies, they're going to start to think about how do they look on the small screen as opposed to just how do they look on the big screen, because more people may be staying at home. Older people certainly don't go to the theaters as much as they used to. I mean, let's face it. Teenagers will always go to a movie because they want to get away from their parents. They want to get away from their parents. So they don't want to see a movie with they don't want to sit at home and watch a movie with their mom and dad.
No.
They want to go out and you know, hang out and look at boys and look at girls and go to the movies. And that's where you do that when you don't have a car.
Right.
So that will always be a main audience. And that's why most of the movies, like you're saying, Godzilla and King Kong, that's why, you know, comic book movies and that have taken over, is because that's the people now who really stand in line and go to movies are young kids or arrested development, adults who are 40 and still want to see, you know, Spider-Man movies.
They still want to see the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, so you know that's a whole other conversation, but so this is going to change from an audience standpoint, you know, how we see it, what we see in terms of how it's presented to us, how it's made in the creative side, and from a business side, which doesn't really affect us, although it does because we do pay the money for this, you know, how, you know, so then what's going to happen? Is it going to cost $50 for a movie at home? I mean, do you think you would pay $30 to see a movie at home? Would you pay that?
No, I wouldn't.
So like for Mulan was $30. Would you pay that? If your kids say, I want to see, you know, Megasaurus 5?
No, I wouldn't pay that.
No, okay. So there is a threshold.
I would say, well, we're going to wait for a couple months.
Okay, yeah. But see, so that's the thing. So
cheaper.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to see a shift here because they're going to start to then, to your point, you know, if I have a subscription to HBO Max, that's their goal for Warner Brothers and AT&T is to drive people to HBO Max so they can watch it and get that $12.99 a month. But moving forward, other studios that may not have a vested interest in a streaming service, and there's going to have to be a middle ground here of how do theaters exist. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if within 5 or 10 years, will there be a movie theater? And if there is, will it cost $40 to go to the movie theater? Are they going to have to try to compete, you know, to stay open? Because if less people come, they may have to raise their prices higher.
Right.
You know, is popcorn going to be $40 a tub? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. That's where they make a lot of their money too, is like all the concessions and,
you know, and then actors are going to say, you know, they're screaming because they're going, hey, you know, I was going to make a lot more money, especially if you're a big star. You could make these back end deals, and now they're not going to have those grosses because movies, until this all shakes out in a good 5 or 10 years, until there's a new system that is established and that shows is profitable, there's going to be a lot of big stars that are used to making these big paydays. They might not even make movies because they're like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest, like I cannot see stepping foot in a movie theater anytime.
I know, exactly.
6 to 9 months, we'll say. But at the same time, I would be really sad if at the end of this, if let's say movie theaters just get phased out and they go out of business and they're just not viable anymore, and then we don't have that option.
Well, look at drive-in movies. Drive-in movies went away though.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, actually, drive-in movies made a comeback during COVID.
Well, right. But my point is, for the drive-ins were around from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And then
I remember going when I was a kid.
Yeah. And so do I. And then they just faded out. So I mean, it's not inconceivable to think that a movie theater. I mean, think about it too. I mean, even when you watch the news these days, especially now during the holidays, you know, and when you look in some of these. You know, these flyers, I mean, 70-inch screens and homes are not strange anymore.
Right.
And they're not $10,000.
Right.
So, I mean, they are upgrading. And people now, especially in this last 9 months, who everybody feels that they've sacrificed and they're being, you know, unfairly. So I think a lot of people around these holidays are going to splurge on an 80-screen set. Because they, first of all, they feel deprived in general. And then they're saying, well, look, if I'm going to have to be at home for another 8 months, I want a big screen.
Right.
And I think you're going to see a lot more, you know, there used to be a time when 40-inch screens were big or 50. That 50 is nothing now. 50 is a 19-inch set from the 70s or the 60s.
Right.
What size screen do you guys have at home? Your biggest set. God.
If you think I know what size the screen
is. Yeah, but it's pretty big, right?
Because my husband's in charge of that.
Yeah,
it's a big screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably over 60 inches, right?
Bigger than what I would want. We'll say that. Because I don't like a big, giant screen hanging on my wall.
But, yeah, because we've got a 41-inch that we bought. I mean, our set is 13 years old. I bought it in 2007. So at 2007, a 40-inch screen was big. And I have not upgraded yet. And to be honest with you, like you, I'm sitting there going, do I really need a 70-inch screen?
Right. I mean, that's crazy.
I think 70 now is kind of becoming par for the course. So I think people are upgrading as technology continues and the prices keep going down. If you can buy a 70-inch screen for $500, you're almost stupid not to.
Right.
You know? And then now they're coming loaded with all these different extras with the 5G, 7G, 48G, LED this, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think when the time comes that you're upgrading your TV, I think it's going to be overwhelming for you, Jim.
Well, you know, I mean, what is
your smart TV functions and all that?
Well, I got around my smart TV by buying the Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, right, that's right.
So that's how I get all my.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the movie industry, what's happening with them right now, though, is like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that music streaming totally changed the whole music industry, and so I think that's kind of what's happening to.
Well,
the movie industry.
I'm a Dish subscriber, and I would say I don't know why they're waiting, but there's going to come a point here when streaming services are going to say, "Look, we're going to give you a la carte programming, and you could pay a smaller fee, and you could say, look, I want TV Land and Sundance Channel." Or Lifetime, or whatever it is, and they're going to put the cable and the satellite dish companies completely out of business, and that has to be coming because people are already dropping the satellite services in droves, and it's only a matter of time before either they consolidate and DirecTV and Dish get together, or one of them go away because there's no market for two of them anymore. I've had Dish for 25 years now. Like in my case, and you'll understand this. So you know WGN Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because they're fighting. Dish is fighting with.
Oh, that's right.
With the company, and so now for the last 3 weeks they've dumped WGN. I don't think I'm ever going to get Channel 9 on my Dish, and I could watch it over the air, you know, with an antenna. But in terms of it being on my satellite system with my local channels, with my 257, I don't get 9 anymore. So I cannot see Tom Skilling anymore.
Oh, no.
Due to the weather. So, yeah. So the streaming services, they already have us. But when they start to get, but right now they're just showing their movies and their content. But when they decide to make the move, and I don't understand what they're waiting for, when they decide to say, look, we've made a deal. And we can offer you HBO, we can offer you MTV, or we can offer you Sundance, or we can offer you Hallmark, or whatever you want. When that's the case, then I'm in. I'm done, with the satellite. Because, my gosh, sometimes when it rains hard, my satellite goes out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a pain.
Or when it snows and ice builds on my satellite, I have to go out on the roof with a broom.
Oh my gosh!
And break the snow and the ice off my satellite because it's blocking the system. So I mean, what was once high tech, really isn't anymore.
Right.
And it's funny, we're getting old enough now where we have actually seen, and this really is an axiom. Every 30 years or so, the entertainment world and the technology world completely shift how we experience our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was network television from the 50s, and then 30 years later in the 80s, there was cable television. And then 30 years, there was a satellite, which got into your homes. And then if you take the 30 from, say, the 90s, when everybody had cable and, digital cable, and now we're in streaming. In the 20s, in 2020. So, and same thing with music, There was the CD in the 80s, and then in the 2000s, we had digital. And now nobody buys a CD anymore. So it's almost like a 30-year, it's almost generational, and we've lived long enough now, we've gone through a couple of these.
But, it's interesting because in the case of music, though, I feel that the technology has made the experience for the consumer better. It's just improved it. The fact that I can listen to any song I want to, any song that's available on streaming from anywhere I want to via my phone, which I can carry in my pocket, as a consumer, that's great. I do think the sad thing about the consumer experience is that it, with movies, is that it isn't necessarily going to, and on one hand, it changes it for the better because you don't necessarily have to leave your home now to see first run stuff, or that's going to start to be possible because of this announcement. But again, there is an element of wanting to have that movie theater experience.
And there, and there is something fun, and there is a value add. I mean, like you said too, it's kind of a night out. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. Yeah. It's you're changing your venue. I mean, my gosh, we're in our homes enough, and now we're going to stay in our homes on the weekends too.
This is the other thing, is once we can leave our homes, will we want to be at home anymore? Because that's going to change too once things actually get better and we can kind of get back to a more normal way of life.
You know what's interesting, which I've heard now, I heard this mentioned just briefly, and now it's starting to gain a little steam, and it's very interesting to see. You know, this whole COVID thing, as I said before, I hope psychologists and psychiatrists and social professors are taking notes, because it's not very often that a society comes to a halt like we have in the last year and really has to seriously alter the way it goes about its daily life. And so this is an amazing case study for human behavior, either how we have stepped up or how we have dropped the ball. And I think it's a combination. But what's interesting to see is, you know, we've had to make some temporary changes in our daily lives. It'll be interesting to see how many of these temporary, what we thought were temporary, will become actually now permanent. Like, I think curbside service will now be a permanent part of any retailer.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually kind of nice.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
In the store.
Yeah, I love it. I don't have to wait in lines. I call ahead. There's these parking spaces that are reserved. I go in, I text them or I call them, and they come out, and I'm done. So that was something that was devised to get around this COVID thing. But I think there's going to be a lot of things that we thought were temporary that the companies and the industries that implemented them go, wait a minute. This is efficient for us. And our consumers like it. We're not getting rid of this. Yeah. But here's the interesting part. And I don't know. I have to go back, and maybe there are some sociologists that can attest to this. But I never thought of this. But was the Roaring Twenties? Were the Roaring Twenties, where everybody was going nuts, and you know, was that a societal reaction to the Spanish flu in the last part of the 19s?
I do think there's something to be said for a similar type of...
Because are we going to go, like, to your point now, are we going to go, when this is really over, when it's really, really over, when we feel as if, yes, we maybe every year from now on, we do have to get a shot for this, you know, like, who knows? But when it's gone and it's not spreading this and it's not killing people, are we going to go nuts for like 5 years?
Well, I do think that there probably will be.
Is there going to be a new Roaring Twenties?
Yes, there will be a period of exuberance following this, I believe. I hope so. I'm on board with that. Count me in.
I mean, are you ready? Are you ready to go nuts?
Oh, yes, I totally am. Yeah.
Because I never really thought of I always thought of the Roaring Twenties. That term and the reason why everything, because there was just an economic upturn and there was industrialized, you know, we were starting to use machines and our society was just changing and it was advancing. And so, and that was part of it. But I never thought of the behavioral aspect that it was a reaction to, because let's be honest, we didn't know very much about the Spanish flu until now.
Right,
but it was fairly serious, and it was very widespread, and it did alter people's behaviors for a good 18 months to 2 years, and so I'm wondering, are we going to have is it going to be the Roaring Twenties again? Now, what's scary about it is, remember, at the end of the Roaring Twenties, we had a 20-year depression.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't.
No, we don't want to repeat that.
Yeah. But I mean, is it going to just be like Thunderdome? Are people just going to be going crazy?
Well, I hope it's not like Thunderdome. I hope it's more like, you know, dressing up and lots of champagne,
right?
And great arts and culture.
Well, I think you'll look good like dressed as a flapper.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've thought about this because, again, after 9 months of mostly wearing, like, you know, athleisure,
right?
I mean, I'm ready to put my prom dress on and go somewhere,
right?
Anywhere, you know?
Yeah, that is going to be
dressed up.
I mean, that is
champagne.
That is going to be so. Once again, from an observational, societal kind of, you know, sociology viewpoint, it's going to be so amazing to see how people react. Because don't forget, there's been a good segment of the population who have not even changed their behavior. I mean, how about that Sturgis thing in the summer?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
so some people just said, you know, screw you, and they went to this bike rally and acted as if there was no such thing as a pandemic. So some people haven't really changed their behaviors all that much. But as a society, we certainly have. And it's going to be interesting to see that when there is an all clear. And there's going to come a point, and it's not going to be one day. There's not going to just be like a flag going up on a flagpole. It's like, okay, now everything's cool. It will be gradual, but there will be a point when people go, you know what? It's time to travel. It's time to go out. It's time to congregate. I mean, is it just going to be like party? Is it going to be Animal House? I mean, I don't know.
I mean...
Because we've already got, as I said before, it's a joke, we've already got an arrested, developed, you know, society of people that are, you know, that don't feel that they become adults until they're 60. Yeah. So if that's the case, we have a lot of 30 and 40, even 50-year-olds who already act like children. So they're going to act crazy.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I'm hoping for more Great Gatsby than Animal. But that might be wishful thinking.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go more toward Animal House. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I know you're hoping for, you know, a nice F. Scott Fitzgerald party with, you know, in the Algonquin round table. But I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe you can do that. Maybe that'll happen at your house.
I'm putting too much.
Yeah, but I just...
Although you are a big John Belushi fan.
Yes.
Maybe that's why you're
I am. I know.
Animal House.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to just be very interesting to see how people... react and on the whole, and just do they go nuts and just say we've been cooped up for too long, and because like I said, people have been looking for reasons to reward themselves anyway. I mean, one of the reasons that we're having all these surges and surges upon surges is because once we've bent the curve, instead of just saying, okay, good job, keep up the good work, we automatically say, well, good, now we've bent the curve, so we can go crazy.
Right,
which only helps to perpetuate the curve again, or you know, the surge. And so, if we did this right, the only reward we would have would be not lifting the restrictions. The reward we would get is a nice pat on the back and say, "Okay, keep up the good work until we get a vaccine." But we've completely said, "Oh, once we've bent the curve, okay, go out and dine. It's done," and then they go back up again. It's been such a silly, you know, kind of just immature, but that, you know, as I said, sadly.
This is the society we live in.
That's who we are.
I do predict that in terms of, like, just from a generational standpoint, I have wondered to myself in the last few months whether, as a result of this, like, my kids' generation, like, I wonder whether they will become, like, a generation of, like, obsessive compulsive hand washing and toilet paper hoarding.
Oh, that's good. Well, think about it. Like,
those are like the everyday things that I wonder.
Well, you were saying that your son, who, now how old is he, 10 or 11, 10?
He's 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 10.
You said that he wears his mask even before he leaves the house to go to school.
Yeah, they're in the masks all day long, but he puts his on before he leaves. And I'm don't you want to wait until you have to put that on? Because you're going to be wearing it all day. But he's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
he's used to it, and
that's a real good point. I mean, don't forget, kids in that kind of age group that are still kind of developing and still impressionable, they are, their everyday lives have changed, and they don't necessarily. I mean, they know why, but they don't fully comprehend it yet, I don't think. And so, you know, once again, what becomes, you know, what we learn at that age, what we do on a daily basis, suddenly becomes normal.
Yeah.
Even I'm sure you're going to tell. There's going to be a point where you're going to say to him, "You don't need to wear your mask." He's going to go, "Don't. I don't care." He might wear his mask all the time.
Well, it was funny. I was standing with my kids outside of school because pickup is like you can either drive around or you can walk up. And when you walk up, you know, you have to have a mask on and you're outside and you're waiting and you're distanced from people. So I was standing there waiting with my daughter and she coughed, and which is a trigger now for
right.
you. Anytime you hear someone cough or sneeze, it's like totally triggered. But she coughed and I just said to her, because you're so used to saying these things to kids, I said, "Cover your cough. You know how you're supposed to cough into your
right.
mouth." Yeah. And she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, I'm wearing a mask." And I was like, actually, that is a very good point.
No
you
kidding.
Are. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I'd be honest with you.
The new normal.
To your point about do you feel comfortable going into a theater or something like that, I really believe that even when, and I don't know, I mean, I'll have to wait and see, but we're still in the middle of this. But I'm wondering, just to your point, about a safety and a kind of just an extra precaution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I ever going to go into a store without a mask on?
I think it'll be a long time, but eventually.
But I mean, I don't. I mean, even after the all clear,
it'll feel weird.
Yeah, I mean, even weird. After the all clear, I still think I'm going to go. You know what? What's the big deal? You know, because in my view, it's like, you know, I wear the mask, you know, and I've said, I mean, I thanks. I'm not a big fan of Bon Jovi, but thanks to John Bon Jovi, he's helped me in my mask wearing, because I saw him several months ago in the summer on television doing an interview. And while he was being interviewed, he had his mask on his forearm. And I always was forgetting to wear, like, I would put my mask in my car.
Okay.
And he had it on his forearm or his wrist. And I said, wait a minute. That way it's always on me. Because there were some times where I would leave my car and forget my mask.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I get in my car, the first thing I do is I put my mask on my wrist. It's a reflex action. So when I get out of my car, I cannot forget my mask.
Right. That's smart.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, from a precautionary standpoint of, hey, I don't know where these people have been, even on a clean day, 5 years ago, why weren't we wearing masks?
Well, that's the thing, is that other cultures have been used to wearing masks for a while. So it's just like something.
And I always looked at them with like, oh, grow up. You know,
well, now you don't.
Now I don't. I've got my nice John Lennon mask, which has like that little caricature that he drew of himself. So I've got my cool mask. I've gotten plenty of compliments on my mask.
Okay.
So I'm now thinking that I might just wear, if I wear a hat when I go out as a fashion accessory, now I have my cool mask.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll just always wear my mask. 5 years from now, I still might be wearing a mask when I go into Menards.
It's like it'll be a statement for
right.
like sunglasses. At
yeah,
that point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But anyway, well, Emily, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know that you have to send your kids in building.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Well, I have to pick them up.
You have to pick them up. So now when you pick them up, are they out building?
Yeah, then they're out. Yeah.
Oh, you were going to say it.
I was going to say out of building.
You were going to say it. You're going to put the preposition and the article there. Of the building.
Yeah.
Outbuilding. Yeah. See, so here's my question.
Building.
You don't say outbuilding, do you?
No, I don't.
So why are they in building?
I have explained it to you.
Oh, you, Your Honor. Do we have to hear this filibuster again? This horrible argument? This baseless argument,
no,
Your Honor?
I rest my case.
Oh.
You won't have to hear the argument.
Fine. I'm going to have a directed verdict. There's no need even for any kind of deliberation. Her prima facie case was horrible. She loses. Thank you, Your Honor. Anyway, I want to thank you, Emily. And hopefully, as the pop culture in 2021 hopefully begins to percolate more, we will be able to talk on a more regular basis like we did, which was every week.
Yes.
So
well,
believe
you know,
me,
I'm here for you.
Oh, I understand. I don't want to sully our appearances
and talk
about stuff that isn't worth it. And people go, oh,
I agree.
They're talking about nothing. So I save you for when there's something good to talk about. But hopefully in the next year, we will be able to get, because I'm certainly going through Emily withdrawal. So just know that.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't want you to think that I've forgotten you or have felt that. It's just that there's really, gosh, it's really been a wasteland in the pop culture world for so many months. But hopefully 2021 will bring a lot of changes that we have been looking forward to. And one of those is to talk to Emily on a much more regular basis. So thank you so much for joining us today. And stay safe. Mask up and make merry over this holiday season. That's what I've been writing on my cards. Mask up, make merry.
Yeah, I will do. You too, Jim.
And I haven't received it yet. I'm looking forward. Do we have a Christmas card from you this year?
There will be a card.
Will it be photo?
It will be photo.
Will you be in it?
I will be in the photo.
You will? See?
I should have left you hanging, but no, I will reveal now. I will be in the photo.
And here's
so
another.
So you have that to look forward to.
And here's a question. When you were devising your card for this year, did you think of me complaining that you were never in the card?
I 100% did.
I told you. See, I love being in people's heads. I don't need. Yeah. That's why I don't need.
And I thought to myself, "Oh, Jim will be pleasantly surprised to see my face on this card."
So now I'm in your head for in building.
The question now is, will they ever get here? Because they've already been delayed once.
Oh no, you haven't gotten them yet.
No, I was supposed to have gotten them a few days ago, and they haven't arrived yet, and there are delays. And it's not just shipping delays. It's also, you know, the production delays.
Yeah.
They don't have as many people in the
facility. We were going to do a photo one, but we didn't because of that reason.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, no. You should have, you should have done one with your John Lennon mask. That could have been.
Well, we had a whole, you know, because it was our 30th anniversary, so we had a whole idea for our 30th anniversary for our Christmas card, too. But then I was like, you know, is it going to take longer?
Yeah, stuff.
So that's why we didn't do it.
But yeah, I'm hoping to have them by the end of this week, and it's going to be a quick turnaround. So you got to keep your eye on your mailbox.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm glad I'm in your head now for in building. I was in your head for your Christmas card, and I do believe that I might be in your head for your nativity scene.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a nativity scene?
I don't, but maybe I'll go get one.
Well, if you do, I bet you don't put baby Jesus. You won't put baby Jesus in there until Christmas.
Well, no, now I would never.
See,
do that,
so at least I'm there in spirit. I said that's why I don't need to see people in person. I love to get into their heads.
Right.
I'd rather live in your head than visit your house.
Yes, you do a good job of that.
Well, thank you, Emily. Have a good holiday, good new year, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Bye bye. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com, or we are found wherever you go to find your favorite podcasts. We are there. Don't forget, send your friends a link, send them a message, tell them why you enjoy Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck aren't they? Your devotion and your loyalty and your effort is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 240. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screens.